Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for the morning show also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Friday morning show on WGTDHD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. I'm very excited to be able to speak for the next few minutes on the morning show about one of the great masterworks in American literature, To Kill a Mockingbird, and and how it comes to the stage a week from tonight on the stage of the Lakeside Players in downtown Kenosha, the Rhodey Opera House. We have in our studios the director of that production and three of the actors who are in the cast. But ahead of us talking about To Kill a Mockingbird, here is the opening to the marvelous Oscar-winning film, the opening credits, the opening musical theme to help set the stage for our conversation, To Kill a Mockingbird, on the Friday morning show. The sublime musical score of Elmer Bernstein from the film version of To Kill a Mockingbird, based, of course, on the stunning novel of Harper Lee. The To Kill a Mockingbird is the subject of the Big Read Project here in southeastern Wisconsin, and so I suspect it's no coincidence that the stage adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird is a part of the current Lakeside Players season. And so it's timely on all kinds of different levels for us to be talking about this great work on today's morning show. First of all, we're happy to have with us in the studios WGTD's own Jim McClure. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Jim's good work for us as one of our reporters, and also for his presence in the cast of various 91.1 Players productions. He is portraying the role of Atticus Finch in this production of To Kill a Mockingbird. He has brought with him two of his castmates, Delaina Kazelka, who portrays the role of Scout, who of course is Atticus's daughter. And Vanetta Powell is with us as well, who plays the role of Calpurnia. And also with us in the studios is the director of this production, Alex Metalski, who is a recent graduate, relatively recent graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, a graduate of their fine theater program. And a warm welcome to all three of you, all four of you. Good to have you here in the studios.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Greg.
Alex, can you say a word about that matter of this being a coincidence, or if indeed this
yes.
Production was it indeed chosen with this Big Read project in mind?
Sure, that was certainly a major factor in determining our season. Once we heard that Kenosha's library system was pursuing To Kill a Mockingbird as the Big Read, we were pretty gung-ho about doing it anyway because of how faithful an adaptation the script is to the original novel, how timely and timeless the work is. But once we heard that Kenosha's library was doing it, that was it. That was a go.
So it was already a likely component in the season, and then that was the what sealed the deal.
Certainly, and additionally, also timely because of the new novel of Harper Lee, the original manuscript of To Kill a Mockingbird, just released this past summer, Go Set a Watchman, the sequel, so to speak, of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right. So there are all kinds of reasons why we are paying especially close attention to this great, great classic. Say a word about this stage adaption of the novel, and then we're going to talk about the novel and, of course, the characters and so on. But you mentioned that that you consider this to be a very faithful adaptation. Put it in some context for us, the original novel, the well-known film version, which many people know, and this stage adaptation. What is the relationship of those three?
Sure. Let's see. I would say what this particular adaptation, stage adaptation of the book succeeds in is capturing Scout's perspective on the entire events of the novel. What the movie does brilliantly, but a bit differently, was it does focus on the events from Scout's point of view, but certainly from Atticus's point of view. Gregory Peck's performance, one of the greatest performances of all time, is what people tend to remember about the film. What our adaptation does, it keeps that, it maintains that, certainly, but the through line throughout the entire play is Scout, her perspective on race relations in the South, her perspective and her growth through the play from the young, immature, but very curious child into certainly not a grown woman, but coming along, a step mm-hmm. in the right direction, as it were.
You mentioned this adaption, so there are multiple stage adaptions of To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yes, and interestingly enough, the
GPS signal lost.
Interestingly enough, live. This particular adaptation is written by Christopher Sergel, who has written several adaptations of To Kill a Mockingbird himself. This particular adaptation has a narrator character. One of the neighbors, Miss Maudie, in addition to acting as herself, as Miss Maudie, will break the fourth wall and interact with the audience, taking lines directly from the novel, Harper Lee's words herself, and speaking them to the audience. Hmm. It's a brilliant theatrical device that really also makes the adaptation even more faithful.
Huh. So it sounds like this is an adaptation which really draws from the novel very directly, more than maybe another stage of adaptation, which is maybe more about the film, just takes the film and puts it on stage. This really seeks to put the original novel on stage.
Certainly. The playwright actually worked directly with Harper Lee before her, worked directly with Harper Lee before his passing.
I see.
Yes.
And is this an adaptation that you personally chose, or is this the one that is most readily available?
Well, when Lakeside Players selects its season, we seek members from all over the community to be part of a script reading committee. Then the committee members read various scripts, various adaptations, and selects it. I was selected as the director of To Kill a Mockingbird, this was the adaptation I settled on, yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear from each of you, all four of you, your own initial encounter with To Kill a Mockingbird, whether it was reading the book or seeing the film or whatever. And Alex, let's begin with you.
Sure. Well, let's see. My first encounter would be the film. I watched it when I was in, it was elementary school. I don't remember the exact year. My parents were avid pushers of classic films from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and that was certainly up there. My first encounter with the novel was as part of my schooling in 10th grade when it was a mandatory reading, but I was excited to read it, unlike some of the other students initially. Once they started reading it, of course they loved it. It's classic, but yeah.
Very good. Jim McClure, our Atticus, when did you first encounter To Kill a Mockingbird, the novel or the film, or in some other way?
It was the film, I would say, in 1965. It came out in 1962, and it just worked its way to network television by that time. And I remember watching it with my parents, and I remember my father, who was nearing 50, as Atticus is in the play adaptation, tucking me in that night, wearing his cardigan sweater, just as our last image of Atticus is, and reading to me from his Depression-era 1935 Dr. Doolittle book. And so that had a searing memory for me. And then as I read the adaptation later, I think it was 8th grade at School of St. Mary's down in Lake Forest, about 20 minutes from here. And the two over the years have just made a searing thing for me because I associate them both with my dad and with an Atticus I would meet later in life as a television reporter in the 80s. There was a state legislator, which you learn in the book Atticus was, prior to becoming a lawyer, who was the consummate state legislator, but he was also a consummate small-town lawyer, and I would see him operate in a Virginia town doing murders and acting like Atticus. And I talked to him the other day, and he said, Atticus doesn't use Facebook very well. Can you call me up? And it was fascinating to hear Atticus come alive again in that sense.
Very good. Delana, who is our scout, what was your first encounter? Was it being in this production of To Kill a Mockingbird, or ahead of this, did you already know the novel or the film?
Before I knew about the Lakeside Players putting on the production, I actually read the book, and once I found out they were doing it, I was so excited to be a part of it. And I've only recently seen the movie, and when I loved that too, so I am a very big fan.
Great. When was it that you read the book? It was for school, I assume.
Actually, I read it on my own. I have the book, so I don't know. My brother read it, so I thought I would read it too. It was, I think, only last year.
Wow. Well, very good. And then finally, Vanetta Powell, tell us about your initial exposure to To Kill a Mockingbird. When did that occur?
Well, my initial exposure to Mockingbird was when I was a young child in the 70s.
Let's start again. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay. My initial exposure to The Mockingbird was when I was a young child in the 70s, and I've always loved classic movies. And some of the children be outside playing, and I'll see a classic on, and I would stay inside and watch the classics. And Kill of a Mockingbird became one of my favorites, and my first experience was watching the film. And then when I went to school later on in years, I read the book. And then when I found out that Lakeside Players was doing the play, I was excited as well. And I couldn't wait to get a hold of the script and just, you know, read it and see if I can play Calpurnia. Calpurnia, I identify with her so well because I have a grandmother and aunts, you know, that reminds me of Calpurnia. Mm. Growing up in a Christian home with good morals and values, Calpurnia sort of fit that image where I can relate to.
Sure.
So I enjoy it.
What a great opportunity. Alex, as the director, did you encourage your cast to view the film, or did that have no bearing on your preparation or what you wanted their preparation to be for doing this?
Sure. One point I wanted to make very clear from the beginning of the rehearsal process was it was up to the actor, ultimately. Some actors, when they see a film, cannot separate a film actor's portrayal from their own portrayal. They might adopt the film actor's mannerisms, delivery, etc., deliberately, undeliberately, what have you. And I wanted to let it be their own choice. If they wanted to watch the film and, you know, consider it, maybe borrow a couple things, that's up to them. If they wanted to watch the film just to see another person's perspective and not adopt any of it, up to them as well. I gave them pretty free range with that.
Hmm. Well, let's talk to each of our actors about the particular characters that you are portraying and some of the challenges and delights that that are part of that. And Jim McClure, it's pretty clear already that it means a lot to you to have this opportunity to portray Atticus Finch. And I remember reading in the really interesting article that was in the Beacon about this opportunity for you, that that you are really drawing richly upon your memories of your own father. Tell us some of the ways in which your father reminds you of Atticus Finch and other ways in which you are shaping your portrayal.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, my Atticus is your Atticus and everyone else's. You know, in part Gregory Peck, but really it's my father, who was a gentleman who, by the time I was scout's age, was in his early 50s and was, he just passed away 3 years ago, was a very quiet, reserved, real man who would handle adversity, would fight racism in his workplace and sometimes suffer for it, and was known for closely identifying with his employees and closely identifying with our family. He was a executive in Chicago when we lived in Michigan, and the sound of gravel on the driveway meant Dad was home when we'd rush out, and he was a spitting image of Gregory Peck, which didn't hurt.
Wow!
But he was just a loving, lovely man, and each evening would end with him picking me up, holding me up in the air, sitting me down to bed, and reading to me from one of his childhood novels. And until recently, I would cry every time I saw the closing scene in Mockingbird. When my dad passed away, I no longer cried because I realized he was still with me. And I think, and I've mentioned this to Alex, the power of the film, the power of the book, is whether you had that kind of father that Scout, that we see through Scout's eyes so wonderfully in the play, or whether you didn't, all of us have that longing, either to have that childhood back, if we're lucky enough to still have our father with us, and that innocence. Or, if we didn't have that kind of father, I wish I had an Atticus. Mm. And I mentioned this, you know, my other Atticus, this state legislator in Virginia who recently retired. I mean, these are men who really knew how to communicate, as this is State Senator Ted Morrison, who was the majority leader in Virginia before he retired. And he said, you know, Jim, we don't do lawyering like we used to. Today you need a database. I would just get up with a couple law books and talk to people. And that's how Atticus does it. He talks to people as he teaches Scout and Jim under the watchful eye of Calpurnia, who holds everything together, really, that you have to look at things from other people's perspective in order to communicate with them. And at this time in our nation, where it seems like it's 1962 all over again, we need to hear that message again, that we need to see each other, you know, to use an old phrase from Rodney King, you know, can't we all get along? Mm-hmm. And from Martin Luther King, you know, when are we going to judge people by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin?
Yeah. The character of Atticus Finch is a widower. And in the film, at least, we know relatively little about that, about who his wife was and what happened to her. Do we know more in the novel?
Oh, we certainly do. If you look closely at the film, you'll see a picture of her on the mantle at the end. But she was a very young woman that he met when he was about 45 and she was about 20 or 25. She was probably a secretary in the Alabama state legislature. And she died from a heart condition about 3 or 4 years after Scout was born, which led to that poignant scene in the movie that a lot of folks remember, where at night Jem and Scout are talking about her while he sits out on the porch in his cardigan thinking about her and also about the pocket watch, which she said to my beloved Atticus. And that's a quality that Alex and I have talked about. As heroic as Atticus has become in whatever role we picture that, be it novel or film, there is a vulnerability there. There's a pain there. There's a character that you identify with the non-heroic part. Here's a man who's all alone. He's raising two kids, and he's all alone to fight this fight on behalf of Tom Robinson, the black man who he is defending.
Powerful stuff. And, of course, Atticus is not only a widower then, but that also means Scout and Jim, his son and daughter, are living life essentially without a mother. And although they are mothered to some extent by Calpurnia, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Delaina Kozelka, tell us about your impressions of this character of Scout, and maybe in particular how she is similar to you and how she is in contrast to you.
Well, I love portraying this character. I really don't think I've had to, like, go into a character this much before, and I love her personality. I've had a lot of fun trying to figure out new things about her and her curiosity with everything that's going on around her, and I feel like that, in a way, I'm kind of like that. I like to know things that are going on and how it's going to affect me, and I feel like she's just trying to get everything she can.
In the film, she's very much portrayed as a tomboy. Is that also the way she is to be portrayed in this stage adaptation? I mean, do the stage directions sort of say that, or are there other ways in which it's clear that she really is a tomboy?
Yeah, I actually get made fun of Mrs. DeBose a lot for being such a tomboy and not wearing dresses and camisoles and whatnot. Right. But it's kind of challenging sometimes. I am 14. I go to Indian Trail, and I have to portray a character who is about 9 years old, so it's challenging sometimes, but it's a lot of fun to try to do new things.
Right. Alex, let's talk about that for a second. The casting of Delaina to be Scout and the challenge that she faces to portray a character much younger than her, and at a glance, she doesn't look to be naturally a tomboy at all. So, so what has this journey been like to help shape Scout and some of these particular details that are, in some ways at least, at odds with who Delaina is in real life?
Sure. At the very beginning, we had one-on-one meetings, but more importantly, I met with what I call the Finch family. So that's Atticus, Scout, Jem, and Calpurnia. Talking with them about their family, their relationships with one another, and I talked one-on-one with them about what I was looking for in the play, what they could work on throughout the play, and right away with Delaina, what I wanted her to focus on. She was doing this a lot during auditions, but what I wanted her to focus on was finding that youth that she still has. She's certainly very young and excited about life. She, like she said, she is very, very curious and wants to learn everything, just like a young child does. But finding that that naivete, that the way that a child views the world revolving around them, that sort of quality that Scout certainly has, that Delaina does not have because she's very mature for her age.
Yeah, right.
That was the challenge, so to speak. But Delaina not only rose to the challenge, but has certainly surpassed the challenge, beaten it down. And now you, once she's on stage, once you see her, she will come across certainly as the right age.
Very good. Delana, you mentioned you watched the film. To what extent do you feel like the portrayal of Mary Bottom as Scout, the first time she'd ever been in a film, actually, it's an extraordinary performance. To what extent has that been any kind of guide to you, or have you really tried to be guided more by Alex's direction and the words you found on the page?
I've definitely been trying to use Alex's notes and trying to watch my younger siblings and cousins, but I feel like once I watched the film, it helped me see that character as more youthful and not a different person's personality like my brother or something. Seeing her personality and how young she is helped with building that kind of character.
Say a word, Alex, about the casting of Delana opposite whoever the young man is who portrays her brother in the film, in the play, and how crucial that was to have two young actors who authentically, plausibly could be brother and sister.
Certainly, certainly. With the casting process for this show, we had 2 days' worth of auditions, and we had around 45, 50 people audition, and our cast size is only about 20.
Yeah.
So, and many talented people who unfortunately could not be involved. With auditioning the three kids, Scout and Jam, the brother and sister, as well as Dill, the friend from Mississippi who comes and visits every now and then,
right.
Who could have grown up to be Truman Capote, fun fact. When auditions were happening, I had the three of them, and especially Scout and Jem, read several different scenes together to test their chemistry, so to speak, to see how well they interacted with each other naturally without having me necessarily intervene. And the young man who I've cast as Jem, Tom Jackson, phenomenal actor as well. Amazingly talented kids in this cast, young people in this cast. Delana and Tom work so well together, and as well as Cameron Shuneman, who plays Dill. The three of them are a trio. They are always having fun on stage. They really hit the meaning of what it is to be in a play, which is to play with one another.
Right. Very good. Let's talk with Vanetta Powell about the character of Calpurnia and the important role that she plays. First of all, remind our listeners of who she is in To Kill a Mockingbird. Who is Calpurnia?
Calpurnia is an advocate for the children to assist Atticus in their domestic needs. She's a nurturer. She's a security blanket for them. She's just, you know, just homemaker, just very caring, concern about the children and Atticus. She has an educational background, and she's just, she has a very good, stable mind to really just be there for the family. She strikes me as a person that loves doing what she's doing. And the challenge for me with Calpurnia has been I purposely did not watch the film because as an actress, I wanted to develop my own perspective of how she should be portrayed as an actress. And I find that she's the type of character that Atticus can depend on and the children can depend on to make sure things are running properly in the home and the children are being domestically taken care of. Hmm.
So in other words, because you've seen the film before, right?
Yes, I have.
Years ago. So you on purpose did not return to the film.
Not right away. And I still haven't watched it yet since, it's been a while.
Right. So to a remarkable extent, then, this is going to be your conception of Calpurnia versus trying to mimic whatever that actress did who was in the film.
Absolutely.
Interesting. And she's an important figure in all this, in the dynamics of this small, in a sense, fractured family. She makes, obviously, a very big difference in their well-being.
Absolutely.
James McClure, I don't think we had a chance to ask you about your impressions of the great Gregory Peck and his Oscar-winning portrayal of Atticus Finch, and to what extent that has been a help and or a hindrance to you in trying to shape your own conception of Atticus Finch.
It's been a curse and a blessing. The first lesson I ever learned in my first production in community theater and in high school was never look at the film. And in that case, it's kind of like when you're talking about Gregory Peck or you're talking about Atticus Finch, that's like saying don't look at the white elephant in the room, because he's the most, it's probably the most famous role. I think the American Film Institute listed Atticus Finch as their number one hero. I have gone back and looked at it, but I agree with a recent reviewer in a magazine that said no one has ever taken on the role again. No one has the audacity to take on such a role, but I'm stupid enough to try and stumble into it. At an interesting time, when right after Ghost Set a Watchman came out, the sequel and prequel, which was really her first impressions of her father. But what Gregory Peck did was remarkable, but what he did was he played Gregory Peck. And what Alex and I have talked about is that people will want to see some of that, and they will see some of that. But they will more clearly see, we hope, Harper Lee's vision of what her father was like. And even some of the controversies that you see in Ghost Set a Watchman, if you go back and reread the book, there are a couple somewhat racial statements that Atticus makes. He is a very much warts and all character. So I hope that what I am able to give the audience, and ultimately that's what this craft is about, is giving the audience an experience, as much as I just relish and have always wanted to play this role. And I think the audience that comes out is going to have a remarkable experience of meeting a three-dimensional Atticus under Alex's direction, a three-dimensional Calpurnia with Delana's incredible acting abilities and interpretations, a scout that sets out and achieves what Harper Lee wanted. And it was this, a look at the world in an innocence we all desperately need now. Now, with all the things that are going on in society, and what Harper Lee called a love story between her and her father, which is really a love story we have, depending on your perspective, with either your heavenly father or your own family. And that's the perspective of a child that is experienced in the world as ugly as it can be, and seeing a way to bring good out of it through better communication and seeing the best in people you may initially think the worst of.
For those of you just joining us, we are talking today on The Morning Show about To Kill a Mockingbird, not only the original and beloved novel by Harper Lee and the marvelous film adaption, but more immediately about the stage adaption, which is going to be presented by the Lakeside Players, opening a week from tonight for three consecutive weekends. And we have with us in the studios Alex Metalski, who is the director of this production, and three of the actors in the cast. James McClure, who is portraying Atticus Finch, Delana Kazelka, who portrays his daughter Scout, and Vanetta Powell, who portrays the devoted Calpurnia. And again, a week from tonight is when this production opens. Alex Metalski, tell us something about the journey that this cast has made together in bringing these characters and this story to life. But ahead of that, tell us what you know about Harper Lee's own crafting of this novel until the publication of Ghost Set a Watchman, which is kind of a companion piece, basically the only novel she was known to have ever written. What can you tell us about the circumstances under which this great classic was written?
Sure. Well, because Ghost Set a Watchman came out, that's the main context in which I know about the process in which Harper Lee wrote about it. Everyone knows it until very recently as the only novel that this Pulitzer Prize winner ever wrote. She won and done. How can you top To Kill a Mockingbird and whatnot? But Ghost Set a Watchman, that was her original draft. She submitted it to the editor, and then the editor loved parts of it, particularly the flashbacks that this late 20s Jean Louise had back to her childhood, growing up in Macon, Alabama. And that is what the editor suggested rather strongly that she focus on, which led to, several years later, the final draft and publication of To Kill a Mockingbird at the perfect time for it to come out in the 60s, just at the start and height of the civil rights movement in the 60s.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing to think about the timelessness of this work, the timeliness of it then, and how timely it remains. And we will talk about that as well. In fact, I suspect that as your cast has made this journey together, you had some conversations about that.
Oh, certainly. And even if I hadn't mentioned it, it's rather prevalent. As Jim said earlier in this broadcast, it's like 1962 all over again, with all of the racial issues going on throughout this country. They've never really stopped since the 60s, but in recent years, Ferguson, Staten Island, Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, and countless others, so many lives being affected, so many communities being affected, as you said, timeless and timely, this novel.
Right. Vannetta Powell, you happen to be African-American. I wonder if you could share with us your own perspective on this work, how powerful it has been for you and for people from your community. I mean, is it universally admired and embraced, or are there some African-Americans who, you know, maybe take issue with certain ways in which certain aspects of this reality are portrayed? I mean, what is your own sort of personal relationship to this work, to the role of Calpurnia as an African-American woman?
My personal relationship with this character is being able to be a part of her, to be in her shoes, because of the beliefs that she has and her moral and Christian background. I'm able to relate to that. I'm able to actually act that out. And the more I pursue the character, the more I just find myself being able to bring out those attributes of her. There's a lot of people that I know that when they've heard that I was going to be acting the character of Calpurnia, they were excited because of their experience of knowing who I am and the type of person I am. They knew that this character would be just perfect for me. And so, you know, I love Calpurnia because I get the opportunity to really show some really strong values and morals that I have deep down inside me to portray that in that character. And it comes natural for me, you know, and so it's just been a really awesome experience.
Right. And Calpurnia certainly is as much the moral spine of this work as is Atticus Finch. That's for sure. I can tell you believe that as well.
Yes.
Alex Mitowski, there are some scenes in this work that are searingly difficult to watch, and I should think to portray as well. I'm thinking of some moments that really reveal some ugly racism.
Sure.
Talk for a moment about what the experience was like, especially for your cast, to have to experience some of that, either to be the person hurling hate-filled words or the person who has to listen to them.
Right, difficult on both ends, right?
Yeah.
Well, like you said, searingly difficult, I would say even searingly painful. We made very clear from the very beginning of the process that we would, for this production, retain the original hurtful, harsh language of the play, of the book, of the time period. The reason being that if we don't portray it accurately, then ultimately we are not learning from history. We are glazing over it. We are whitewashing over history, as it were. So we had to make very clear at the very beginning that we would retain the language and work with the others to tell them that even though it might be painful, that we would once rehearsals were done, we would calm down, deflate as much as possible, remember that we are a cast, an ensemble, even a family, that even though we have to go through these rough patches together, we are still doing it together. And as hurtful as it can be, by doing it, we are, I hope, touching our audiences in their hearts and in the important places.
So your cast, for the most part at least, has managed to do that? I mean, to kind of survive these really, really difficult things?
Certainly. It's difficult for those who are saying these hurtful... everyone in this cast, all the people who say these hurtful words, this is literally their first time saying that. Some people have grown up in the South. Some people have grown up in more rural areas where this type of language is more prevalent. Some people grew up during the time period when this was... just the norm and whatnot, but they themselves never used this language until now. It took a few rehearsals to get them to the place where they felt not comfortable, but certainly able to say these hurtful things. And those who are on the receiving end, certainly painful, certainly terrible to hear, but they understood and were very open to the idea that not having this language would be doing a disservice to those who came before them.
Hmm. James McClure, I'm sure for you one of the really powerful challenges of this of portraying this character is this iconic courtroom scene in which you are defending the young man who is, as it turns out, unjustly accused of raping a young white woman in the community. And could you say a word about this particular sort of sequence in the play and the kind of challenge that it poses to you as an actor?
There's a beautiful symmetry in the play which reflects the symmetry in the book. And that's the theme of taking on a task that you know you're probably going to lose, but you see it through anyway. Mm. And in the power of the courtroom is in seeing Atticus stand up and attempt to, in effect, hold back the wall of coming, the wall of hate, the thing that, as he says later to his children, you know, it's going to happen. We knew it was going to happen. It always happens, and it seems like only the children weep. Mm. It is an incredible power to stand there and realize that in a microcosm, that Harper Lee and Christopher Sergel, the playwright, and Mr. Pakula, the producer of the film, and the director, have encapsulated really in one scene, in one time, what we face in society, which is fighting against something that's sometimes bigger than us, but we make an inroad into it. And the play has something that was shot for the movie but left out from the book. You know, certainly we fight racism, but we also fight addiction in our society. And that very colorful Mrs. Henry Lafayette DeBose, who yells at Scout at the start and is very racist, we learn is fighting an addiction to morphine. She's dying from cancer. And Jem and Scout end up going to visit her later and seeing her through to the end. And Atticus talks about that, as he does in the courtroom, about the importance of seeing something through. And we learn that Mrs. DeBose has some heroism to her, too.
Wow. I did not know that. So that's something else for us to look forward to. Delaney Kazalka, how does Scout change through the course of this play?
I think she changes the most during the courtroom scene, seeing her father defend this man and... kind of hearing what else, the other side of the argument. And I actually say at the end of the play, I feel so old and that I still have a lot to learn, but I keep going along with it. And I really feel like it's powerful to think that a person of this age would have to go through all of this and listen to it and experience it.
Mm. See it and feel it and all of that. Absolutely. Vanetta Powell, this has been a long time dream for you to be part of this cast. Has it lived up to your hopes and dreams and expectations?
Absolutely. You know, this is just really a good time for me right now. One of the exciting things about portraying the character Calpurnia is being able to do the accents. And one of my famous lines in the play is, what is it, Jim? I can't come out every time you want me to. You know, and so, yeah, it's been a lifelong dream of mine. It's actually coming true thanks to Alex Medaleski for casting me.
Right.
And I'm just excited right now.
It's like you get to not only portray Calpurnia, but to be her.
To be her, yes.
To experience what that would have been like. And by the way, we should mention that James McClure is going to have a very busy day. You are, the same time that you're doing Atticus Finch, are also portraying Johnny Dollar with the 91.1 Players. There'll be at least one day where you do the one in the morning and Atticus in the evening. I can't imagine that.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I'm wondering if America's Fabulous freelance insurance investigator with the action-packed expense account will have an Alabama accent.
Right.
And Atticus will be adding up his expenses in the middle of the courtroom scene, but we'll see how it works out.
Right. Hopefully you can keep these two exploits distinct in your mind and give us the Atticus Finch we're all hoping for and expecting on that stage. Alex Metalski, for those who are interested in going and experiencing To Kill a Mockingbird, remind them of when and where these performances are taking place.
Sure. The play opens next Friday, November 6th, performs at 7:30 on Fridays and Saturdays, 2 o'clock on Sundays, running for 3 weekends. You can see it in downtown Kenosha at the Rohde Center for the Arts, also known as the Rohde Opera House. Tickets are online now. I'd reserve your seats in advance because this is going to be a big seller, I can already tell.
Absolutely. And a week out, you're feeling confident that you'll be ready to open in strong fashion a week from tonight?
Oh, certainly. All the actors are having fun with each other, having fun on stage. Even during the heavy moments, they are on task, on point, poignant. It's going to be a heartfelt show.
To Kill a Mockingbird comes to the stage of the Rohde Opera House for performances 3 consecutive weekends. Call 657-PLAY if you would like more information, or go to their website. My thanks to all 4 of you, director Alex Smetowski, James McClure, Delaina Kozelka, and Vanetta Powell. It was great to have all 3 of you here for the morning show, and very best wishes for a successful run of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
I'm Gregory Berg. Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information at carthage.edu/grad. Sunny today with a high of 53 degrees, but clouding up tonight with a 60% chance of rain and a low of 45 degrees. Cloudy and plenty of rain tomorrow as well with a high of 53 degrees, much like today. But sunny on Sunday with a high of 63 degrees, and we should be into the mid to upper 60s by Tuesday and Wednesday. This is WGTD.